103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Sod Show. It's Brian Green and it's not Peter Donegan this week. It's Katrina Redmond. Hello, Katrina.
Hello, Brian.
Yeah, on the telephone, and we've no Peter Donegan. Explain.
Well, we figured we'd give him a little bit of a break, and it being National Potato Day, I managed to interview a very, very interesting pair from Vita, the Irish charity who work in Africa, and it's an interview about aid with a potato flavour. You'll excuse the pun, I'm really sorry. Basically, Vita work with communities in Africa to help them to grow potatoes to add to their staple diet.
Wow. It's working out well for them, we'll hear.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting interview. I speak to John Weeklium and Simrat, who is Eritrean, and it's tied up in... It's very interesting, actually, because Ethiopia traditionally, as I often say, when you think of Ethiopia, you think of, well, if you were a child in the 80s, you think of that trokra box, don't you, of that child on the front of the trokra box in the middle of a desert and starving.
Band-Aid.
But actually, yeah, and actually it's a complete turnaround on the form of aid that this charity likes to give to people in Ethiopia. It's not about giving them food, it's about giving them skills and ways of moving forward, because they reckon that they don't need to give them the aid. They want to give them the self-help, the help to get themselves a rung up the ladder, which is absolutely fantastic.
It's also, you mentioned Potato Day, so you'll be doing a roundup of things happening for this Potato Day in Dublin.
Absolutely. There's buckets of things happening up and down the country, and because we're over halfway through the day, we've missed a couple of things that are on. For example, there's a number of open farm days, there's one up in Derry, I know there's one or two down in Wexford, so we've missed a couple of those, but there's some really interesting things happening in Dublin city centre. But not forgetting that the Restaurants Association of Ireland have a good few of the restaurants have specialist menus on today to celebrate Potato Day, and of course Gallagher's Box Tea House have a very special event today as well.
Okay, all to come here on The Sod Show, 103.2 Dublin City FM between now and 3:30. Don't go anywhere. Let's get talking potatoes.
Hi, it's Katrina here for The Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM with thanks to our sponsors, greensax.ie. Today is National Potato Day, the 3rd of October 2014. It's a day where we celebrate all things spud. The day has been underway since early this morning, so there's a couple of items that are still running this afternoon that you might like to check out. If you're based here in Dublin, keep an eye out for the Kyo's team. Kyo's are friends from North County Dublin, are celebrating Spudfest. So take a look on their Facebook and their Twitter accounts. Likewise, Mead Potatoes are friends in Mead Potatoes, so do check out their social media as well. Teagasc, that's Teagasc, are running, well, they were running a Q&A session on their Facebook and Twitter pages today. Now, that Q&A session for amateur and professional potato growers has now finished, but the information is available on their Facebook and their Twitter accounts. So if you're interested in growing your own spuds next year, I definitely advise that you head on over and check it out. Here in Dublin, starting today at 3 p.m. on South King Street, so right beside the Gaiety Theatre, Country Crest have a potato sampling and they've got free tastings and fun. So that's running between 3 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. There's a number of farms up and down the country who have open days and tours of the farm today along the theme of Potato Day. So do check out the website, which is dedicated to all things spud, that's potato.ie, to see if there's anything else that's running in your area. Not forgetting our friends over in Gallagher's Box Tea House, who of course, as always, have a menu dedicated to the wonderful spud today, along with a number of their colleagues in the Restaurants Association of Ireland. So there you go. There's lots of things going on today to celebrate all things spud related. But then again, do we really need an opportunity to celebrate the potato?
Potato!
Over the last couple of years to celebrate National Potato Day, we've met with a number of different potato growers up and down the country. We've met with Sam Dennigan, we've met with Country Crest, we've met with people up in San Arta for their National Potato Day celebrations. But this year, well, we decided we'd mix things up a bit. We wanted to talk to people who are involved in potato growing that has a distinctly Irish slant and flavour, yet the potatoes that they're growing are mainly not being grown in Ireland. So this week I met up with John Weekliam of Vita. That's the Irish charity Vita. You can find their website is vita.ie, so that's V-I-T-A.ie. To chat about a project that his charity have been undertaking along with the Potato Centre of Excellence, based in Eritrea and Ethiopia. It's a project that takes a look at giving local farmers the tools to generate more income for themselves, to grow more food for themselves in a more sustainable way.
My name is John Weekliam, strange name, W-E-A-K-L-I-A-M. Don't ask me where it comes from, but I worked out in Eritrea for 12 years. I've been working with an Irish charity called Vita. It used to be called Refugee Trust. It was set up by Mother Teresa and an Irish priest, Kevin Doheny, in 1989. And we have our 25th anniversary this year. And I started working 14 years ago out in Eritrea when Eritrea went to war or was a victim of a war with Ethiopia. And I started working with Refugee Trust, now called Vita. We became involved with refugees because half of the Eritrean country almost was displaced by the fighting. And we got involved with helping those people, almost 1.5 million people who were not in their homes and had fled from the Ethiopian army. And after the war subsided and settled, we became involved with helping people return to their homes and build their livelihoods back, having lost their possessions and lost their means of livelihood.
So you're probably wondering, what the heck are you interviewing this really lovely guy on the Sod Show for? Well, Vita have a very, very interesting project at the moment, and that's how come I've collared John to talk to us about it. So John, would you be able to tell us a little bit about your growing project that you work on with Vita?
Thank you, Katrina. Yeah, Ireland has a history, obviously, of hunger, and we've known what it's like for people not to be able to grow enough food to feed their families. We know what the disease did to the Irish potato in 1847, and that our population almost halved in 10 years as a result of people being displaced, of dying, of starving, and of suffering. And out of our history, Ireland has become a world-renowned grower of food, and we export almost 90% of our food from this country. And the simple, humble potato is a symbol of Ireland's history and is also a symbol of Ireland's expertise in agriculture. Because in Ireland, Teagasc, the Irish State Agriculture Agency, has world-renowned expertise in growing the very best of potato, and Ireland exports potato to more than 40 countries. In Africa, the potato is less well known, but it is a marvellous crop for a family to grow in their garden or in their field, to feed the family, to sell the extra, to have money, to meet their everyday needs, and to get the vital nutrition that the children need as they go to school every day, and to ensure that they will grow into healthy adults.
So where does Vita come in with their work with Teagasc at the moment?
Well, as an aid agency, we're trying to modernise. And in the past, when people in different unfortunate countries had problems, we gave them aid. We gave them food. We gave them shelter. But aid is not the solution. And in countries such as Ethiopia and Eritrea, the people have the intelligence, the capability, the culture, and they will ultimately prevail. But we can be of enormous assistance, and Vita as an organisation believes that To be of assistance, you cannot give handouts. What you want to do is to work with people, to give them our technologies from Ireland, to give them the capacity and the capability and the know-how to grow their own food, to produce their own means. And Vita is working with Chagask. We're working with the International Potato Centre based in Peru. We're working with Wageningen University, which is Europe's top food university in Holland. And we have a project in Ethiopia, which we call a Potato Centre of Excellence. And that Potato Centre of Excellence has the aim of, firstly, with 100,000 potato farmers in one zone of Ethiopia, to ensure those farmers can grow enough food for their families, to sell and get an income from the extra food. And with that model, that Potato Centre of Excellence, we have the ambition to link up with all the Irish agencies who focus on agriculture, such as Goethe Self-Help, such as Concern, and to target 4 million potato farmers in 6 countries in Eastern and Southern Africa.
That's an awful lot of potatoes. That's significantly more than what we would produce in Ireland. Would I be right in saying that?
Not necessarily, because in Ireland we are great consumers of potato. We eat about, I think it's 100 kilos approximately per person per year. But in most of these countries in Africa, they're only eating 5 or 10 kilos. The reason being that, firstly, they're not growing enough, and secondly, they're less accustomed to potato than we are. But as in Europe, we eat different types of food, we are eating less potato. The opposite should be true in Africa, where there's huge potential for farmers who are producing small amounts of wheat and maize and barley to triple or quadruple their food production simply by getting their hands on good seed and applying good growing practices like making ridges, putting fertilizer, ensuring that they have chemicals to spray against blight or bacterial wilt or other disease. And if they follow those practices, they can have three or four times more food. But actually, they eat so little potato that potato is not a staple food. But we would like potato to be a staple food for those farmers. And as they grow more food, so that they can provide potato as a staple food in the urban centres, in cities like Addis Ababa, which has a population of, we don't know, maybe 5 or 6 million people. I think the census has never been fully carried out. But that potato can be introduced as a staple food in those urban centres, because potato has zero fat, it's full of nutrition. What's not commonly known is that when people came to Ireland in the 1800s, and at a time when Ireland were eating, the Irish people were eating potato for breakfast, lunch and dinner, many observers noticed and wrote about the beauty of the Irish women and the handsomeness and virility of the men. So it appears that potato has many hidden qualities if we only knew.
So, John, the scale of the project is so large, and you're engaged with so many different agencies internationally. It's a huge undertaking. And this is all managed from one office in Dublin?
Well, not really, because there's so much capability in so many different offices. We're all coordinating together. The International Potato Centre based in Peru has expertise world-renowned. They are the owners of the World Gene Bank of Potato. They have something like 500, 600 varieties just in Peru. They are able to breed potatoes internationally. They have huge capacity on their own. Chagask has its own capacity in Ireland with a team of 20 people under Dennis Griffin down in Oak Park in Carlow. All the different agencies are working in their own ways, in their own areas. So we're just the organisation that tries to pull that together, but it's a team effort, and obviously no one entity can achieve much on its own. The key for good development in any country is collaboration between the scientists, the researchers, the development agencies, the business actors and the government. We all need to work together, because it's not good enough if one part of the value chain, if one part is working like the production side, but you're not addressing the market side. The science has to be in place. We have to work with the local governments. We have to work with the extension services and the ministries of agriculture, the women's agencies, all the people who work with farmers to ensure that the farmers get the training they need, that the farmer field schools are organised, that all the elements in place, both in terms of training and in terms of technologies, so that everything can happen. So it's a team effort.
So can you tell me more about the training? Because as you say, potatoes are not a huge part of the diet in the Ethiopia, the area of Ethiopia and Eritrea. So can you tell me more about the training that you have to provide to farmers so that they understand how to grow and make the best of the potato crop?
Yeah, I wasn't strictly correct in saying that it wouldn't be familiar with the potato. There are millions of farmers in, for example, in Ethiopia, a population of 90 million people. Over 1 million people do grow potatoes. The problem is that the seed they have is old and diseased, so they're getting very low yields. They have very small plots, these farmers. They might have 1 or 2 acres, which is really equivalent to what Irish farmers would have had in the famine years, which is one of the reasons for the famine, that these tiny plots could not sustain families. But because of improvements in the breeding of potatoes, the seeds that we can provide, instead of a farmer getting 3 or 4 tons from an acre, he can get 12, 14, 15 tons from an acre. So he's going from a situation, I say he, because actually 30, 40% of farmers in Ethiopia are actually women farmers, and they're doing most of the work and they are bringing most of the brains, I should say, to the exercise, where the farmer maybe has the brawn. The woman knows exactly how to grow the best food and how to feed the children in the best way and how to spend the money better than men. But we know that from Ireland anyway.
So on the other side of me, I have Simrat. Am I pronouncing the name right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have Simrat. And Simrat is originally from?
Eritrea.
And when did you come to Ireland?
7 years ago.
So that would have been 2007. And seven.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the work that Vita is doing?
The work that Vita are doing is really, really very good. And it's very important because it's encouraging the farmers, you know, to earn their own income and to work, you know, for their own land so that they can have, you know, their own harvest. So that way they can improve their life.
Simrat, tell me, when you lived in Eritrea, you grew up in Eritrea. So what was your staple diet? What would be the kind of food that you would eat every day?
Our main food is called injera. It's made from taff, sorghum, even wheat. That's our main diet, and you eat it with this thing called shiro, which is mainly made from chickpea. Or you eat lentils, and we have some of our own spice varieties. We call it zigni, chicken or lamb. And we have variety of vegetables as well.
So for those who don't know what teff is a very, very small grain. It's gluten-free and it's ideally suited for growing in Africa, because for 1 kilo of teff, you can plant an awful lot more over say an acre than you would be able to plant say 1 kilo of wheat. So it's really, really suited for growing in the African regions, and for those who would have been maybe nomadic tribes, they would have been able to carry the teff with them and plant it with much greater ease than they would have been able to carry wheat. So since you arrived in Ireland, what are the kind of foods that you now eat?
I still try to make my own traditional food. I try to bring some taff, even though now I see growing interest in taff for all the celebrities, because it's very high in nutrition, and I'm going hands off. That's our own food, because, you know, if that becomes very popular in Europe, obviously the price is going to be too high in Africa. It will only be for export. So I always feel a little bit like, oh, that's our own thing. Don't touch it. But, you know, but here as well, I cook my own traditional food. But obviously, like potato being really the main food in Ireland, you also eat potatoes, even though we used to eat potatoes in my country. But it's not our main food. It's just like if you did well in school, or if you are a good girl, your mother will boil one potato, peel the skin off and put a little salt. And that's a nice treat. So it's not commonly eaten as much in Africa than in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that it's a treat food? That's really interesting. Yeah, yeah. Actually, potato is very sweet if you think about it, isn't it?
If you boil it with water with the skin, and then after you boil it, you take the skin off and you put a little salt. It's really nice.
It is.
It's like a snack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice.
So do you think that that's very interesting, actually, because now you'll have an increase in treat foods if you increase the potatoes.
Well, if you will, you can actually make it part of the meal as well. It is also eaten as part of lunch or dinner. Yeah. It's not eaten in the morning, but lunch or dinner along with other vegetables. But it wouldn't be a huge amount of potato that you would eat. It would be like in between lunch or dinner, it will be like a snack that you give to young kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, it's not hugely popular, but it is there. It grows there as well, but not as many, as much. It will be like limited.
And would you be able to tell me a little bit about the growing culture amongst women from Eritrea? Like John has mentioned that women are very much part of agriculture, that women do an awful lot of the farming.
Yeah.
Would you be able to tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. Since our independence from Ethiopia in 1991, the government, which is the Eritrean government at the moment, believes in women's rights so much. This woman is encouraged to take parts. If you see now, even women can drive tractors. They are operating heavy machineries. They are actually working in huge farming. So women at home are also, the government encourages them to grow their own thing. They have their own independence of growing something in their back garden, doing beehives, chickens, many things. So the woman, like, it's really something that you grow, you plant yourself, you harvest yourself. So, you know, at the moment, they are really being encouraged and they are expanding, you know, women, their potential. Or maybe culturally it might be different, but now with encouragement, they are, you know, a lot of women also fought in the battle for Eritrea's independence. A lot of heroes, a lot of brave women who drove tanks, who, you know, really, really strong women. So women in Eritrea is really, really encouraged.
And what you can't see, listeners, is the massive grin on Simrit's face as she tells me about that.
103.2 Dublin City FM. It is the Sod Show. And potato, potato, potato on Potato Day. Katrina Redmond, we're all potatoed up. We know everything we need to know about potatoes on Potato Day now, don't we?
Yeah, pretty much. To be honest, who wants to go for fish and chips now that it's Friday? Come on, fess up.
Don't the Italian restaurants, the Chippers, have an association that has an Italian restaurant day?
They have a national fish and chip day. And if I remember correctly, I think it's just after Easter. Although if they wanted to have one today now, I don't think anybody complains.
Yeah, no, but they'd leave the stickers up in the window all year round. I do see them about the National Fish and Chips Day. Okay, it's strange to be here without him, the elephant in the room, or not in the room.
He who shall not be named.
Mm.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe he needs a break. He takes over the airways every Friday, and as most people know, you and I work in the background, so... it's a little bit of a radio takeover, I suppose.
But what if people are sitting at home with the cards in their hand and they're playing bingo and they're waiting for him to say, growing flowers under my bed at the age of six? Well, we've said it now, so now it's in the show.
yeah, there you go. Exactly, and I carried my compost home on the handlebars of my bike.
Grifter. You can't say bike, you have to say grifter.
I'm sorry, grifter.
What have we got on the show next week?
Well, next week, I'm reliably informed, is World Health Mental Health Day. So I have asked around, and I believe you're the best person to take care of that.
Yeah, that was really badly introduced by me, because I do know. And yes, next week is World Mental Health Week, and I'm a bit busy on another radio station, which won't remain nameless. It's Upbeat on 99.5 FM for World Mental Health Week, and I'll be busy there. But what I'm going to do is get the microphones for the Sod Show in Dublin City FM. I'm going to put them in front of all the celebs and anyone I can find and ask them about gardening, mental health, what's it doing for them, and see what we get out of it. How about that?
That sounds absolutely fantastic, because I think that gardening and horticulture is something that is really, really fantastic for mental health. So I'd be really interested to hear what you get, Brian.
Okay. And to finish on a joke, did you watch the Ryder Cup?
No.
No, neither did I. I don't like golf. The chip on my shoulder affects my swing. Chip, potato day, bad joke.
I don't have that issue because I have a chip on each shoulder, so I'm perfectly balanced.
Very good. And on that balancing note, with thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out at greensacks.ie on the internet and check them out in the supermarket where you can download them into your trolley. That's it for the Sideshow with Brian and Katrina. Katrina, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Take care. Good luck. Bye.
Sala nezamt gaizella, zehmu kollin nimmanay tamsilla, gadru gular hiqa gashankala, gadru gular hiqa gashankala. Gashalam berta tulu gadri, gashalam berta tulu gadri, hayda amma zaytirra abkawli, maghan tubuqan kadalali. Gashalam bergadlin tattulu, mre'ana masal agt hullu, taidi zibil zallu azbu khullu, kam idi rakhaman kam kalu, dalai fethi kisam tinilu, adma khulta gwabasta mentilu, taidi khawun alub kalugulu. Sawri konan takhawil kharudella on ta agam shete dai sirom gele dai zob kol route tokamuna lo za internet ana mabuda dai sirede somga fullo zay malasa ala bahr el khoyna la fasado la fasado اسمعنا تعم لخته عيت سعنا الله بركته اقسموا